Good evening. Welcome to the Fixed Learning Skills Monday Night Phone Call. Tonight we're going to talk about part two of auditory processing. It's a subject that we started last week, but we didn't have time to finish. So before we get started, let me just introduce myself. I'm David Stowell, and Jill, are you on the phone tonight?
I am.
Oh, it's a good thing, because she's really the one who tells us everything. Anyway, we've owned the Learning Center in Diamond Bar, California for about 25 years, worked with somewhere around 4,000 students. What makes us different is that we really fix learning problems rather than teach people how to get around learning problems. So we hold these phone calls on Monday nights. We're going to spend 30 to 45 minutes just sharing some ideas about how we do that. Now, realize that this is not a diagnostic session. We're not going to go into tremendous depth, but we do give you a glimpse or an awareness of what might be possible. If this is your first call, please understand you're not going to understand everything there is to know about learning problems from this one call, but if you listen to several of the calls, listen for a few weeks, you'll start understanding more about what we're talking about. Just remember this, that we focus on average students. In other words, they have an IQ that is average or above average. We're not talking about low IQ. We're not talking about emotional problems. We're not talking about mental retardation. We're talking completely about students who have difficulties in school, who struggle in school, that could do better. So last week we started with auditory processing. Let me just see if I can summarize it, and Jill, tell me if I get this wrong, okay?
Okay.
But there are four key things that I think we talked about. One is that auditory processing is not about hearing, but rather it's about how the brain thinks about information that comes in through our ears. Secondly, it's one of the key components in reading. In fact, we were doing a workshop this past week, and we had some real successful reading people in the workshop. We had somebody who was really from another field. She was a mom, and she was surprised to find that auditory processing and reading were connected, but they have a very strong connection. Third thing, last week we gave a lot of examples of how poor auditory processing shows up not just in reading or in school, but in everyday life. And the fourth thing we talked about is the research that was done actually quite a while ago, and Jill, I think your experience will bear this out. We see that about 30% of the population has some degree of difficulty with auditory processing. Now, it might be minor, but we know that at least 30%, which translates to about 14.9 million school kids. So this week, we're going to talk about what can be done to fix or train auditory processing. Now, Jill, there's good news here, isn't there?
There is, because just like with other underlying learning skills, auditory processing really truly can be improved, meaning that the brain can be retrained to listen and think and learn more easily.
And to do that, I know that in the clinic we use what you call auditory stimulation and training, and it comes kind of in two different forms, doesn't it?
It has two major components. Anytime you are trying to change underlying processing or learning skills, the programming that you use is going to have to be very specific and intensive, because you're literally retraining the brain.
You're doing that without drugs, without surgery.
Oh, right. So the majority of our students, actually, who come to us have some degree of auditory processing problem, which is connected to why they're struggling to learn, and we use a program called auditory stimulation and training. It has two pieces to it. It has a passive listening piece, where the student is just simply listening to CDs that we prescribe, but that stimulate the auditory system, and then it has an active listening piece where the student is listening to the music but also on a microphone doing some very specific lessons to work with language reading and comprehension.
Well, give us a little more depth here about, well, let's start with the passive listening.
Okay.
Well, does that mean that, like, they can sleep while they're doing it?
Well, they could. that's not what we always advise, but it's possible. We use a program called Simonis Sound Therapy. It is a system of classical music and nature sounds CDs that literally alert the brain to listen and pay attention to get a better, more complete message when they're listening. These CDs are very specially recorded and then actually scientifically engineered so that it truly stimulates the brain to pay more attention to what it's hearing.
Well, now we should mention that listening to any classical music or nature sounds is not the same as these CDs, because
right.
I know that often we get that question, well, what, should we just put classical music on? And there's really two parts to these. There's the music selection, which is very specific, and there's also the way that they're recorded. And I know it almost sounds a little funny for us to say, well, we can't really tell you how it's done. Well, we don't really know how it's done. But what we do know is that the guy who has recorded them has found ways to boost certain frequencies, and of course the bottom line is we've tried them and they work with kids.
And sound therapy is a whole field, really, that has been, you know, the research in sound therapy goes way back to the 1950s, and, you know, has continued from there. And as technology has increased, you know, we're getting better and better ways of working with the auditory system through sound therapy. So it's classical music all by itself can be a good thing, but if you want a therapeutic effect that's really going to retrain the brain, then you need something, you know, that's much more specific and prescriptive, which is what Simonis is.
Now, I know you've got a list there of just some kinds of things and areas that the passive listening mm-hmm. really improves. What are those?
Well, obviously, we are really working to improve a child's learning and impact their reading and spelling and math and handwriting. And surprisingly, you know, we can really impact all of those things simply through this passive listening segment. But in addition to that, we find improvements in communication, in mood, you know, that we see better emotional balance, better relationships. People who have sleep problems tend to sleep better. We see more energy and motivation, better organization, better coordination, and sense of self and sense of well-being. So it's a system that has not only, you know, academic benefits, but just overall benefits for a really healthy and productive life.
Now, but we're not, you know, those people who say, gee, anything that's wrong with you, this will fix.
No.
I mean, I run into those people sometimes, and it's like, well, if your leg gets bitten off by a shark, listen to this. Well, we're not saying that.
No.
But we do have specific areas that we know that it really does.
Absolutely.
Now, talk to me about when you add the actives and you go to the more active use of it. Tell me more about that.
Well, the sound therapy all by itself is a very effective tool, but it's not the whole picture. So if a person is struggling to process the sounds inside of words, which affects reading and spelling, or, you know, to sequence their words when they're speaking, or to say their words clearly, or to comprehend, all of those are kind of language and reading types of things that depend upon good auditory processing. So our advanced auditory training that we connect with Simonis works really specifically in those areas, and it uses a microphone so that the student is hearing their Simonis music, which keeps stimulating the auditory system, but they're also hearing their voice. There is a connection between the ear and the voice that allows a person to monitor how they sound when they're speaking, to monitor their accuracy when they're reading, to hear how they're articulating sound so they can say them better. So that connection between the ear and the voice is really important. And so we find that by adding this active piece, we just get much greater gains when we get into articulation and language and comprehension and reading.
I know that you used Simonis just by itself for a long time before you added all those active pieces, and you got good results with it.
Yes, and sometimes that is exactly what a student needs. They don't always need both pieces, but many students do need both pieces.
But then when you added the microphone, you also found that you had gains in those areas. And correct me if I'm wrong here, but you stopped using some of the programs you used to use and went to the microphone and the programs that are centered around that.
Yes, that's true.
So I know that there are specific strategies in here to stimulate a number of things. What do you see the microphone stimulating?
Well, definitely that whole area of being able to monitor what you say. Sometimes kids have problems socially because they use either a monotone voice or a not very nice voice, like a bossy voice, and they don't even really realize it. As they start to do this advanced auditory training, their speech gets clearer, they're able to monitor how they sound, and so their relationships really change. That same kind of self-monitoring goes for reading. You know, sometimes kids make errors in reading and they don't know that they left out a sound or added a sound or switched the order of sounds because they can't really hear that they did that. But through this process, they begin to learn how those sounds work, and when they make a mistake like that, they begin to hear it and be able to correct it.
Tell us about some kids. So let's get a little more concrete here about, you know, some kids that you've worked with and the stories that they have.
Well, let me tell you about Grayson. He came to us when he was 11, and he had cerebral palsy, so that can, for him, that really got in the way of his being able to speak clearly enough for people to really understand him easily.
But we weren't going to work on cerebral palsy. That's not really our field, right?
Right, but we were trying to help. He also had learning disabilities, so we were really trying to help him to be able to speak more clearly and to be able to read better. Those were our main goals. What happened for him, when he first came, his mom explained that there were certain sounds that he simply could not physically make. And he had been in speech therapy since he was 2. So he'd had many, many years of trying to work on those sounds. Well, he did the auditory stimulation and training, and after 3 weeks, every single one of those sounds were in his language. He was able to say them not only in words but in sentences. Now, that doesn't mean that what he was doing in speech therapy wasn't good and wasn't right, but if the brain can't hear how it's supposed to sound because the auditory processing isn't strong enough, then they can't reproduce it. They can't say it. So this was huge for him, both in terms of his speech and also in terms of his reading and spelling, because now that he could hear the sounds better, he could learn how to sound out words and spell words better as well.
Wow. Now, I know that Josh made a lot of pretty amazing changes also.
He did. You know, Josh was 4 when he came, and his mom was very concerned about him because he didn't really act like a 4-year-old. He was really quiet and withdrawn, and he didn't, you know, 4-year-olds are pretty exuberant, and they horseplay a lot and talk a lot. And Josh really, you know, only spoke 1 or 2 words at a time, and he didn't really play with other kids much. He wasn't imaginative and stuff like that. When he started, he did a program of auditory stimulation and training, and after 4 weeks into his program, he just became a chatterbox. I mean, the language had been there, he just hadn't been able to get it out. And so it kind of like opened the floodgates for him. And his mom wrote us a wonderful letter after he finished. And here's just a little bit of what she said. She said, "Unbelievable, amazing, miraculous are but a few words to describe Joshua's progress since starting Simona's sound therapy. He no longer sits on the sidelines while others are playing. He participates in group activities, he enjoys horseplay, and he's become very imaginative." And she goes on and talks about a lot of other things, but it just really opened up the world for him by stimulating that auditory system.
Who else do you want to tell us about?
Well, you know, last week we talked about Mike, and let me just quickly review him because he's really different than the other two kids that we talked about. Mike at school was very quiet and compliant. He actually could read quite well, but he wasn't confident with it. And he kind of was one of those kids that didn't stand out in the class because he never made trouble, and he actually didn't really contribute. He didn't ask questions. But he was no problem in the class. And he always turned his work in, and it was pretty good. But what his mom saw at home was that every single day, Mike would bring home all of his classwork and all of his schoolwork. And he was very, very dependent on her to re-explain everything to him so that he could do it. And what was actually happening with him was he was so lost when he was listening. He would listen to the teacher, and it wasn't that he wasn't paying attention, but he was just missing too much information when listening. So he just was lost, and he didn't know how to do his assignments until he got home and his mom could sit with him one-on-one and re-explain everything. And he knew that he should be able to get it, and so it caused him really extreme anxiety to the point that he had really bad stomach aches and headaches about school all the time, like 3 or 4 times a week. What happened for Mike was that he really, as he went through his program of auditory stimulation and training, his listening skills improved to the point that he was really much, much more aware of everything that was going on around him. He didn't feel lost anymore. He was able to comprehend, and he started being able to do his work on his own. When he was getting ready to go into the next grade level, he kind of had a little setback in August of that year because he was so nervous about going back to school because he'd had all that anxiety the year before. But once he got into school, he realized, gosh, he really could understand his teacher and he really could do his work. And so those school anxiety issues went away, and he actually had a really marvelous year.
Well, it's obvious, you know, you brought us stories of 3 kids. Now, these kids were fairly severe, weren't they?
Well, You know, they were all kids that were bright, different ages, and had learning disabilities. So, but pretty significant challenges, yes.
Well, and when you talk about Mike not getting it, and he was polite and smart enough to bring his work home and figure it out, aren't there kids sitting in class that it might not be that severe, so they just don't get pieces, and they don't know they don't get pieces? Now, with Mike, he wasn't getting it. He knew he wasn't getting it.
Well, sometimes I think what happens is kids develop different coping strategies. So Mike's coping strategy was to try to be invisible and bring all his work home. Other kids, their coping strategy might be, I don't get this, so, you know, I'm just going to talk to my neighbor and find other things to entertain myself. And so they get pegged as a troublemaker, when in reality, the real issue is they're pretty lost and they don't know what to do on the assignment.
Well, I know that you have a list here of things that parents and teachers can do to help kids.
I do. Now, these things that I'm going to give you will not fix the auditory processing problem, but what they will do is support the learner. So, you know, if we want to fix that issue, we're going to have to get in there and do some pretty specific and intensive training, like the sound therapy and the auditory stimulation. But there are some things we can do to just help these kids, to support them, you know, in the classroom and doing homework, and hopefully, you know, while they're getting help to actually improve the processing.
Now, the first one's called Thinking Caps.
Yes, and this is actually an activity from Brain Gym. A lot of people have heard of Brain Gym. Here's what you do, and if you, you know, if you're not wearing a headset, I would encourage people listening to try this. What you're going to do is just kind of massage the rolled part of your earlobes. The top part, uh-huh. And it's kind of like you massage it, almost like you're trying to unroll it. And so put a little pressure on it. There are actually nerve connections between that part of the earlobe and the listening part of the brain. So if you do that for a minute or so, you're going to find, ooh, my ears are kind of tuned up for listening. So in school, if the teacher is getting ready to give a lecture or something, having all their kids do thinking caps will kind of energize their listening and actually, you know, help them to be more attentive. And the same thing for parents if they're working on homework and they can see their child is struggling to listen, stop for a minute and do thinking caps.
And how long do you do it, like for 5 minutes?
I would say about a minute.
Okay, about 60 seconds of
yes.
Just gently massaging it in a way that would kind of unroll your ear.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thinking caps, the first. What's next?
The second one is mostly to be applied to school, I think. Just make it easier to hear. If you know that your child, as a parent, if you know that your child has listening challenges, then you want to work with the teacher to get them in a location in the classroom that you know, gives them the best opportunity to listen. You know, get them preferential seating, sitting closer to the teacher, being away from computers and fans and open doors and things that are going to make it more difficult to hear.
I know last week you talked about lawn day.
Right, right. That can be really challenging. You know, every week the lawns get mowed at school, and so that's just a very loud noise that makes it difficult for kids to hear.
Or I think in a good part of the country it may be snowblower day today.
Yeah, right.
So just be aware of the distractions and get them in a seat that will have the fewest. What's
right.
The third one?
Get their attention. If you know that a child has difficulty listening or it kind of seems like they need a little warm-up period, they don't quite tune in fast enough, you want to ensure that you have their attention before you begin giving them verbal instructions. So get eye contact, look right at them, and say, I'm going to give you some instructions. Are you ready? So it's just kind of priming the pump for being able to listen.
Instead of just kind of going on in the same tone of voice and telling them something else.
Right, because they might miss the beginning of what you're saying.
So let's see, we've got thinking caps. We've talked about, you know, getting them in seats where there's fewer distractions. And then when we're going to give them instructions, get their attention. What's the fourth one?
Simplify instructions. Sometimes we tend to be too wordy in our instructions, both as parents and teachers. If you know that a child has difficulty with listening skills or auditory processing, give the instructions in short phrases with visual backup. In fact, that's a really good idea anyway. You know, if a teacher is giving instructions to the class, make them as concise as possible and only give the pertinent content. And that way, the important information isn't getting lost in a lot of other words.
All right, what's the next one?
The next one is restate, repeat, and relate. So it's kind of three things. When you think about verbal information, it dissipates. You know, you say that sentence and it's gone. It's not like a picture that or written material that you can read again. So you say it once and that's it. It's gone. So have students repeat important information. Have them tell it back to you to make sure that they got it. And it's always valuable to relate anything new that you're teaching them to something that they already know, whether it's new instructions, a new way of doing things, or new content at school. Relate it to what they already know, or relate it to real-life examples. That just makes it clearer and easier for them to remember and understand.
Great. And what's number six?
The last one, I think this might be one of the most important, and that is to help students learn to visualize as the language comes in. In order to comprehend and remember everything that we hear and read, we need to be able to take that information and turn it into pictures, kind of like making a movie in your head. You know how you hear a picture is worth a thousand words? Well, that's probably really true, because it takes a whole lot of words in order to just get the information that's in one picture. And we simply cannot remember all of the words that we hear and read. And so in order to hang on to that information, we need to be able to turn it into pictures. And that becomes a way to help students make their listening more efficient. And it's also a great reading comprehension strategy as well.
So you've gone through six things here, and again, we want to say these will not fix auditory processing problems, but they will help kids cope and help people get along until they can get it fixed. And I know that we have some articles on our learning site, website at learningdisability.com, and you can get there if you're at the Fixed Learning Skills. There's a link to the Stowell Learning Center, and there are articles there. Jill, we've got a couple of parent questions.
Well,
here's the first one. Since auditory isn't their strength, shouldn't we just teach them to read by sight?
You know, this is something I hear a lot from both parents and teachers, and the answer is no. Reading really depends upon understanding how the sounds in the language work. If you cannot sound out words because your auditory processing is not strong enough to support that, then you will never be as efficient a reader as you could be. Ultimately, we want to be sight readers because we want words to be so automatic. But you can't build a really good sight vocabulary if you can't read words or decode words accurately over and over. Like, you have to read it right a lot of times in order for it to become a sight word. So no, we've got to deal with that auditory piece, or, you know, or we're saying that child will never be as efficient as they could be in reading.
Well, and the fact is, we know that it can be dealt with because you've done it for so many years.
Right, and the research absolutely backs that up.
All right, here's the next question. If the school psychologist says that my child has auditory processing problems, why don't they ever address it at school? Why don't we have auditory processing goals?
You know, that is a great question, because it often happens when when students are tested at school that one of the factors in their learning disability will be auditory processing. But the goals are never about auditory processing, or rarely. And that's because schools are really dealing with curriculum. They're dealing with subject areas like reading and math and science, and so goals typically relate to building those kinds of skills. The other thing is that most people, even in schools, don't really know that auditory processing can be developed, and don't really know how to do it.
Well, they haven't really been trained to do it.
Right, right.
So, all right. Let me see if I can summarize the whole auditory processing calls that we've done. And I may get this wrong. Tell me if I do. Auditory processing is not about hearing, but rather about how the brain processes information it gets through the ears. It's a major factor in being able to read. It does affect posture, movement, attention, social skills, language learning, many parts of normal everyday life besides the academic part. It can be changed, it can be trained, and it can be taught. And in the meantime, there are some things you can do to live with it better. How'd I do?
Great.
I know auditory processing is a huge part of what we do for, would you say this is true, the majority of the students that we see?
This is at least a major piece of the puzzle for the majority of students that we see.
So we know that it's really huge, and we know that when it gets taken care of, the results appear to be miraculous, just because kids make so much progress so fast. Well, we want to thank you.
In so many areas of their life, that's the thing that's really fun to see.
Well, we want to thank everybody for listening. We hope it was helpful. If you have questions for us, please email them to questions@fixlearningskills.com. And check the website, sign up for notification to find out when our next call is. Thanks, everybody. Have a good evening.
Thank you. Good night.